Hello, and welcome to the Atlanta Opera Podcast in the Spotlight. I'm Tomer Zvulun, General and Artistic Director of the Atlanta Opera, and we are glad you are here. I'm excited to introduce to you this new initiative. Blink Opera is a new way to engage with the art form that we love so much and the artists who bring it to life. Who better to bring you these stories than the artists who perform them and know them so well? So our premise is simple. We unpack the plot, we sprinkle in the highlights, share some anecdotes in the most time-efficient way. Blink, and it's over. Just 10 minutes. Let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to Blink number... You know what? What's in a number? Welcome to Blink Opera. I am your host, Aaron Teachman. If you are just joining us, and you probably are, we built these blinks to give folks who are just getting into opera a hook, a way in, a reason to dig further into either this piece or opera itself. And if you are already in the bag for opera, we hope these blinks are an opportunity to spend some time with the stories and the music you know so well, even when you can't make it out to the theater, wherever and whatever shape that theater takes, like a tent, in a parking lot, or a baseball field. We certainly hope you enjoy them, you tell your friends, and definitely tell us what you think of them. Our singer host is going to introduce themselves in just a moment, but before we begin, we must do some admin. Atlanta Opera last produced a more traditional Carmen, the full spectacle, in 2018, directed by Brenna Corner and conducted by Arthur Fagan. All of our musical excerpts are from that production. But this should not be confused with the remixed Threepenny Carmen that at time of recording is playing outside of Cobb Energy Center during the Sprague Big Ten series. Hopefully in due time, that adaptation by Tomer Zvulun, Jorge Perodi, with additional text from Tom Key will get its own flamenco-infused blink, but for now, we stick with the classic. And that's enough from me. Allons-y.
Hello, I'm Daniela Mack. I'm one of Atlanta Opera's company players, and I'm a mezzo-soprano who recently performed the role of the drummer in Atlanta Opera's Fall 2020 Molly Blank Big Tent Series production of The Kaiser of Atlantis. I'm here today to talk to you a little bit about the opera Carmen. It's composed by Georges Bizet in 1873 at the invitation of the directors of the Opéra Comique. He agreed to work with librettists Henri Meillac and Ludovic Halévy to produce a new opera, so he proposed a work based on Mérimée's Carmen. The project moved forward despite the theater's hesitancy to treat violent death and overt sexuality on its stage. And on March 3, 1875, Carmen received its premiere at the Opéra Comique. The press was, of course, predictably outraged, but the opera continued on for 47 additional performances. Bizet died of a heart attack only three short months after Carmen's premiere, at the age of 36. Back to the opera. Start off in Act One in Seville, outside of a cigarette factory. Soldiers are commenting on the townspeople who are going about their business. And then we see Micaela, a young peasant girl, asking around for a corporal named Don José. Morales, another corporal, tells her that he will return with a changing of the guard and that she's more than welcome to wait inside with him. She thoroughly refuses. Good for her. Lieutenant Zuniga and José arrive shortly thereafter, and José learns from Morales that Micaela has been looking for him and immediately perks up. Then the factory bell rings, and all the men of Seville gather to watch all the female workers emerge from this factory, especially their favorite, Carmencita. She sings her first aria, the famous Habanera, and tells her admirers that love is free as a bird and it knows no rules. Everyone is bewitched by her, except one person who pays, or seemingly pays, no attention to her, Don José. Carmen, to tease him, throws a flower at him, and then the girls go back into work as soon as the bell rings. So the women have just gone back to work. José is left alone on stage, and he picks up this flower that Carmen has just thrown at him, and he studies it. He's stunned by what he has just experienced. which is a total first for him. And then we see and we hear Micaela run in. He quickly hides the flower as Micaela enters. She's bringing him a letter from his mother, who lives in the countryside with Micaela. And in this letter, she tells her son that she loves him, she misses him, she forgives him for everything, and also informs him that there is an eligible young woman waiting for him if he chooses her. She's talking, of course, about Micaela. These two have a beautiful duet, and she runs off to do some errands. Now, as he looks off after her, he thinks about Carmen. He pulls out this flower, and you can tell he's already tormented. He almost throws the flower away, and then a scream is heard off stage. A fight has erupted inside the factory, come to find out between Carmen and another girl. Zuniga sends Jose in to fetch Carmen, and as she comes out, everybody's watching. Zuniga starts to interrogate her, and she refuses to answer any of his questions. She mocks him, and he orders Jose to take her into prison. Left alone with him, she entices Jose with a suggested rendezvous at Lilas Pastia's tavern, and he is absolutely mesmerized, so he agrees to let her get away. As they leave for prison, Carmen escapes, and Don José is promptly arrested. At the top of Act 2, we find ourselves inside of Lilas Pastia's tavern. Carmen and her friends Frasquita and Mercedes entertain the guests inside the tavern. After this wildly energetic song and dance number, things calm down, and Zuniga comes over and tells Carmen that, in passing, that Jose has just been released from prison, and also that Zuniga himself will come back later this evening for some more festivities. She's thoroughly uninterested in this. Then the bullfighter Escamillo enters. He boasts about the pleasures of his profession. He sings his very famous Toreador aria. Toreador, ocarde, toreador, toreador, que soja vieu y soja combato, que de noir de regor, de te la lurtado, toreador. And he flirts with everyone, including Carmen. He asks her, "What if I told you I loved you?" And she tells him that it would be impossible, that currently she's involved with someone else, but that it's not forbidden to wait. After Escamillo leaves, the smugglers, Dancairo and Remendado, explain their latest scheme to the women and request their help. Frasquita and Mercedes are very willing and eager to help to make some money, but Carmen flat out refuses. Finally, they are able to get it out of her that the reason for her refusal is that she is in love and waiting for her new boyfriend. Now we hear Don José offstage sing a song, so as he approaches, the smugglers withdraw. Once he's inside the tavern, Carmen promptly arouses his jealousy by telling him how she has danced for Zuniga. Noticing how jealous he is, she calms him down and she says, "That's okay, I'll dance for you now." So she begins this very seductive dance with her castanets. And as she's in the middle of it, we hear from offstage a bugle call. And he is removed immediately from this trance, and he says, "I must return to the barracks." Now Carmen is shocked. This has never happened to her, presumably in her whole life. So she mocks him. And to prove his love, José sits her down and shows her the flower that she threw at him and how he has kept it near him. He confesses that its scent has kept him from losing hope during the many weeks in prison. And she hears him out in silence, but she's thoroughly unimpressed. She tells him that if he really loved her, he would desert the army and join her in a life of freedom in the mountains. Now, this is more than José can fathom. Being a deserter is not honorable. And he refuses. And so Carmen tells him, "Fine, leave." At this moment, Zuniga bursts in and, in a jealous rage, José fights him. Then all the smugglers return and they all disarm Zuniga, and José has no choice now but to join them. Now we find ourselves at the top of Act 3. Carmen and José are quarreling, as usual, in the Smuggler's Mountain hideaway. She has grown tired of his controlling nature and his jealousy, and she admits to him that her love is fading. She advises him to return to live with his mother. He doesn't take kindly to this at all, and we see a change in him. We see that he's not okay with this decision on her part. Then when Frasquita and Mercedes turn to the cards to tell their fortunes, they foresee love and riches for themselves. But when Carmen takes her turn, the cards spell death for her and for Don José. Everybody has left the stage, and in silence we see Micaela appear. She's frightened by everything. She's frightened by the mountains. She's afraid of her task ahead of her. She prays about it, and especially about being afraid of the woman who has turned José into a criminal. She doesn't want to meet her, but she is trying to find the courage to do so. She sings this beautiful aria, and then all of a sudden she hides because she hears a shot ring out. Now José, who has been tasked with keeping watch over the merchandise for the smugglers, has fired at an intruder, who turns out to be none other than the famous Escamillo. Escamillo tells José that he has come to find Carmen. And of course, the two men fight. The smugglers separate them. Carmen saves Escamillo's life, and Escamillo invites everyone, Carmen in particular, to his next bullfight. When he has left, Micaela emerges to everybody's surprise and begs José to return home. He agrees, but only when he learns that his mother is dying. But before he leaves, he warns Carmen in a very ominous moment that they will meet again. At the top of Act 4, we find ourselves back in Seville. The crowd is cheering the bullfighters on their way to the arena. And Carmen arrives on Escamillo's arm, basking in his glory and fame. Now, when the crowd disperses and they're going into the ring, Frasquita and Mercedes stay behind to warn Carmen that José has been seen nearby and he's waiting in the crowd. Carmen is, of course, unafraid. She knows what's waiting for her. So she waits outside the entrance as the crowds enter the arena. José appears tragic, disheveled, tired, and begs Carmen to forget the past and to start a new life with him. She hears him out, but very calmly tells him that their affair is over. She was born free, and free she will die. The crowd is heard cheering Escamillo, who is inside fighting the bull. And in the meantime, José keeps trying to win Carmen back. He's very persistent. She finally takes off his ring and throws it at his feet before angrily heading for the arena. José finds no other recourse in his mind other than to kill her. Carmen, in spite of all this, remains one of the most charismatic and enigmatic characters in the operatic repertoire. And in spite of all of these problematic aspects, her magnetism and resolve as a character makes her a joy to portray as a performer.
And there you have it, Carmen. At time of release, we had just finished up the Spring Big Ten series, an incredible run for our Three Penny Opera and our Three Penny Carmen. The good news is that, like Pagliacci and Kaiser von Atlantis before them, these shows are destined for the streaming platform, Spotlight Media. We'll put those films out as soon as we are satisfied that they are as good as they can be, which is a long way of saying there is no release date yet. But if you don't want to worry about dates, you can pre-order them at stream.atlantaopera.org right now. The Atlanta Opera is a nonprofit organization. If you are interested in supporting our artists and our company, please consider a donation today. Thanks for listening. Ciao.